Good morning. Today's daf in Sanhedrin is daf nun. We start today the seventh parak of the Masechta. We are talking Arba Mises based on the four different capital offenses that, or I should say better, the four different capital executions that Beis Din does. Meaning there are more than four capital offenses. There are many capital offenses in the Torah. In fact, over the course of the seventh parak of Masechta Sanhedrin, we're going to be listing all of them. We're going to go through all the different capital offenses of the Torah in which a person is subject to the death penalty. And in terms of the actual death penalty itself, it comes in four different manners. It comes to either skila, sreifa, harig, vechenek. We already described skila at length in the previous parak, the sixth parak of the Masechta, so we already gave a detailed description of what skila looks like. Rashi already pointed out at the beginning of the sixth parak, if you can recall, the Rashi taught us, it was the first Rashi of the sixth parak, it's found back on Membeis and Membeis, that skila comes up first because, I'm reading the language of Rashi, so skila reisha dekulo arba misos he mefarish mili didab reisha v'ad mefarish sheira b'berken del kama kaseda. Since skila is the number one, the number one death penalty, which we'll explain why a little bit later on. So not a little bit later on. We're explaining why today. So since it's the number one penalty, so therefore it was presented first, and then our mishnah over here now is going to give a comprehensive list of the actual dal misos based in. So that's what we're going to be accomplishing over the course of today. In today's daf, we are going to go introduce ourselves to the dal misos based in. We're going to rank them, meaning which one's number one, which one's number two, which one's number three, and which one is number four. The ranking is actually going to be subject to a debate. We've already mentioned this a couple of times in the Masechta, but this is the daf. This is the mishnah that actually teaches us that the ranking order of the dal misos are going to be actually subject to a machlokas. Let's see the mishnah together inside. Arba misos nimsu lebeisin. We are starting on the very top of Mem Tes Amud Beis with the beginning of the seventh parak. There are four different executions that are handed over to Beis Din, and they are skila, sreifa, hereg, vechenek. Skila is stoning, which we already described in detail in the previous parak. Sreifa is going to be where hot lead will be poured down the person's throat, and they'll be burned from the inside out. That will be described later on in the Masechta. Hereg is decapitation, and chenek is strangulation. So there are four different ways in which Beis Din kills. This is obviously based on the Torah. And then our Mishnah over here is giving us a precise order, meaning that not only is the Mishnah listing the four, but the Mishnah is actually ranking the four as well. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Sreifa Skila, Chenek Vehereg. Now, Rabbi Shimon disagrees regarding the ranking, and he does as follows. He basically takes one and two and he flips them, and he takes three and four and flips them. So in other words, Sreifa comes in front of Skila, but they are still in the 1-2 slot, just flipped, and Chenek Vehereg are in the 3-4 slot, but they're also going to be flipped as well. Zu Mitzvahs HaNiskalim. And then the Mishnah ends off that this is Mitzvahs HaNiskalim, the instruction, the way in which the skila is going to be given, meaning that what the Mishnah now will do is that the Mishnah, not now obviously, but in the upcoming Mishnayos, are going to list those Isurim in the Torah that are subject of the skila penalty. But that's coming up. That obviously is going to take us to the next Mishnah. In the meantime, however, as we are starting our Gemara, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna, Kol Makom Sheshanu Chacham Min Derech Minyan, Ein Muktim Uma Ucha. So he gives us the following general rule. And that is that every time you see a list in the Mishnah, either a list of minyan, a list of things, a list of order of things, so ein muktam amuchar. So there is no muktam amuchar. You don't have to pay a tremendous amount of regard to order. Order is not significant. Chutz mishiva simanim. There is one Mishnah, however, which is a notable exception, and that is the Mishnah regarding the seven chemicals. It's a Mishnah Nida. The Gemara here goes through the Mishnah, did not. Now, this Mishnah over here is describing us in a way in which, basically, we are testing to see whether a stain is either going to be a blood stain or just simply some sort of red dye. There is a way of chemically testing it, and the Mishnah over there gives us the actual chemical test. And that is Shiva Samanim Avir Malakesem. If, let's say, there is a stain. Now, if the woman herself is the source of that stain, meaning it's blood coming out of the woman, so then she's an Ida, which is going to have basically two basic ramifications. One is that she'll be usher to her husband, and two, anything she comes into contact with is going to be tummy. Anything she sits on is going to be tummy. In other words, she herself will be a source of tumah. And so that the Mishnah over here is doing is giving us a way of testing the stain to see whether or not it is blood or just some other type of red dye. And so the Mishnah over here describes that what we do is that you take seven different chemicals, agents, and you apply them. And what we're going to learn together in just a moment is that the application of these agents must be done in a very specific order. The Mishnah reads, Shivasimana ma'avir nalakesem, rog tafel, me'grisim, me'raglaim, neser, boris, kamulya, ashlech. Okay, it is safe for me to say I don't know what all seven agents are, meaning they're chemicals, they're various chemicals. The ones that you and I both know, for example, rog tafel, right? The saliva that comes out of the mouth in the after the person has gone some time without eating. So me'raglaim is urine, right? But in other words, fine. So some of the agents I can identify and describe. Most of them I can't. The point being, and we don't right. As you can imagine, with a list like this, well, nowadays we're not really sure what a lot of these agents are. So therefore, we ourselves can't use this kind of test. But back in the day, so this was a acceptable test. Now, the way Rashi presents it over here, I'm not going to read the Rashi inside, but I encourage you to look at it. The way Rashi presents it over here, so this test is conclusive in both directions, meaning if you apply the seven agents in the prescribed order that we just learned together and the stain comes out, that's blood. Definitively, says Rashi. If I apply the seven agents and the stain does not come out, it's not blood. So the way Rashi describes it, this is going to be proof positive in both directions, both whether it is or is not blood. Okay, not all Rishonim agree with Rashi on this point, but again, for our purposes over here, we're going to stick with the basic theme of the Gemara, and that is that this is the exception. This Mishnah is telling us that there has to be seven agents applied to the garment in order to see whether it's blood or not, and the agents have to be put in specifically the order mentioned in the Mishnah. And the Katani Seifa, now back to the Gemara, and the Gemara now quotes the end of the Mishnah. If I apply any one of these agents out of order as prescribed in the Mishnah, or if I apply them all at the same time, that is inconclusive. It therefore has no, this test has no validity, and whatever the results are simply have to be ignored. Good. So what we just learned together in Mishnah Nida, where it has a list of seven, and this is it, says Rav Huna. This is the only Mishnah in all of Shas where the order is significant, and a deviation from the order would negate the results. And according to Rav Huna, there is simply no other Mishnah in all of Ashas where orders are significant. Now, I know that's a big statement. That's really a big statement. What about the amount? Yeah, right now, in other words, there are other variables. I agree with you. There are other variables, but we're just talking about the order of application. That's the only aspect of it the Gemara right now is focusing on. So the Gemara says, fine. And you mean to tell me that nowhere else in Shas there is an order of things to do in a particular listing, and that order is not insignificant? Sorry for the double negative. Right? In other words, there are other Mishnayos where order is significant. So Rav Papa Saba Mishmed Rav Amar Afar Bamisos. So the Gemara says, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah gives us a list of Dalamisos, and it's significant. So midikamaflik Rabbi Shimon Shmamin Adaf Kikatani, and you know the order is significant because what does Rabbi Shimon do in our Mishnah? He says, no, not that order, this order. So clearly the Tanakhama was giving us a very specific order. So how can you tell me that there's only one Mishnah in Shas, right? In Mishnah Nida, that where order is significant, that's not true, our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, V'idach bepulkta lo kamari. So as far as Rav Huna is concerned, he doesn't disagree, but he doesn't make his list. In other words, in his list, he's talking about the Mishnayos that are not subject to debate. Meaning, of the Mishnayos that are not subject to debate, and giving us a listing, so there's only one Mishnah like that, and that's the Mishnah Nida regarding the seven agents. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah doesn't make the list because our Mishnah is subject to a debate. Rav Papa Amar Av Seder Yuma Dinan. So now Rav Papa says, what do you mean? I'll show you another Mishnah, not just a Mishnah, but a whole series of Mishnayos where the order is significant, and that is Seder Yom HaKippurim. Dinan. There is a sequence in which the Avodas Yom Kippur must be done. Follow the Mishnayos in Yuma, where from Perek 1 to Perek Zion, from Parakim 1 through 7, so the Mishnayos over there give us a list, the order in which the Avodas Yom Kippur is done. And the Mishnah over there says that any deviation from that order is going to negate everything up to the point of deviation. meaning basically you're going to have to not restart from the beginning, but restart from the point of deviance. So the Gemara says, so clearly over there, the Mishnayos are giving us Seder. It's giving us order. And it's a listing, and it's specific. And how can you tell me the Mishnah Nida is the only Mishnah out there where the order is significant? It's not true. We have the Mishnah Yuma. The Mishnayos, I should say, in Yuma. So Gemara over here says, according to Rav Huna, it didn't make the list, and I'll tell you why. It didn't make the list because Chumra Ba'alma. Now, what does that mean? So I'll read the Rashi over here. Rashi over here is really critical in terms of understanding the Gemara. Yom HaKippurim doesn't make the list because of the Chumra. Rashi, second wide line on the Amud. I'm reading Rashi. V'idach, Am Lecha Vadei Davka Ketanei. You're right, of course. The Mishnayos and Yuma, in terms of the order of Yom HaKippurim, have to be done in a specific order. That's correct. However, the reason why Rav Huna doesn't add it to the list, Miu, Chumra Ba'alma Hu. Now, yes, it's true. The Torah says that the order is essential. That's true as well. So Rashi says in explaining the Gemara basically as follows. Order is important on Yom Kippur, but it is not a function of the actual avodah. It's a function of the day. Meaning the day of Yom Kippur is so chamor that the day demands that the order be done a specific amount. But it's not because of the individual avodas. Meaning if I looked at each avoda individually in Yom Kippur, is there a reason why this one should come in front of this one? No. Meaning there's nothing specific to the avoda itself that demands the order to be done in this way. It has to do with Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is such a special day, therefore this should come in front of this, and this should come in front of this. But it doesn't reflect or represent the actual avodas themselves. So says Rashi, it's a pshat in the Gemara, and v'chi amrin anan, and I'm just finishing up the Rashi, and as far as we're concerned, b'midi d'chashivu sa garam lei. We're looking at where there's something significant in the item itself, which is going to require this one to be put in front of this one, and this one to put in front of this one. Meaning, for example, our Mishnah, Rashi, Kigon Arba Misus, Darmin Lakaman, Dezu Chamur Mizu. Because as far as the Dal Misus are concerned, yes, Skila comes before Sreifa because Skila is more Chamur than Sreifa. Meaning something intrinsic to Skila itself makes it above a Sreifa. Or, for example, says Rashi, V'chein B'Sheva Siman, Shetzorcha V'koch Shel Kol Acha V'Echa Garm Lo Likadem. And now, in the seven chemical agents that are applied in order to test whether or not it in fact is blood or whether it's just simply a red dye, so there also, there's something intrinsic to the chemicals themselves that require this chemical to be put in front of this chemical. V'chein Mechnesayim, and Rashi goes on, and there's other examples as well, which we're going to get to in the Gemara, we haven't seen yet in the Gemara. But in other words, those are the things that are up, open and up for discussion. Yom Kippur has nothing to do with the avodas themselves. It has to do simply with the Chomer Hayom. So says Rashi in explanation of the Gemara. We're back to the Gemara now inside. Rav Huna. We are halfway down on Nemtes Amud Beis, and we're discussing if there are any other Mishnayos where order significant. Right now, the way Rav Huna has it in our, on the top of the Amud, there's only one Mishnah in all of Shas where there's an order of items, and the order is specifically has to be done in that way. Deviation from the order would negate the results. And that is only the Mishnah Nida regarding the seven chemical agents that are applied to remove the blood, to see if it's blood or not. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is subject to a machlokus, therefore didn't make the list. What about Yom Kippur? That's just Chomer Sayom. It doesn't reflect anything on the actual voters themselves. Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yeshua Amar Av Seder Tamid. What about the Seder Tamid? Meaning, in the morning, in the Beis HaMikdash, so there's a specific order in which the carbon tamid is brought relative to the shechting of the carbon tamid, the ketores, and a whole series of other things that are done in the early morning in the Beis HaMikdash. All this can be found in Masechta Tamid, which we're going to be doing in the Daf Yomi just a short couple of years from now. Diktani Allah Zu Seder Tamid. And this is an order, and the order is specific and has to be done in the prescribed fashion. And how can you tell me that it's only the Mishnah Nida? It's not only the Mishnah Nida. What about the Mishnah Tamid? V'ida chaula mitzvah ba'ama. And the other Rav Huna of our Gemara will tell you mitzvah ba'ama. Meaning no, it's not likuva. It doesn't negate the carbon tamid. Meaning the Mishnayos over there is telling us the order, and certainly we should be following the order, but what in order to make it to this exclusive list, it has to be where, if there's a deviation of the order, it negates the results. That's what we're looking at, and the Mishnayos and Tamid don't comply with that with that requirement. Okay. Now, so far what do we have? So we have now a bold statement by Rav Huna that the only time in all of Mishnah's where order is significant and changing the order will negate the results is the Mishnah Nida. Our Mishnah doesn't make it because it's just simply subject to a machlokas. The Mishnah in Talmud also doesn't make it. The Mishnah in Yuma also doesn't make it for reasons which the Gemara explained. Now, okay, so clearly, let's get to the point, and that is that when you see other Mishnayos and Shas, order is not significant. The Gemara here gives a couple of examples. Ala afukim em mitzvah chalitza did not mitzvah chalitza. So let's go and give a quick refresher on what the mitzvah of chalitza looks like. In the event that A, man dies leaving his wife childless, if there's a surviving brother, so the surviving brother has a mitzvah of yibum. We've gone over this many times. If the surviving brother does not want to do the mitzvah of yibum, so he'll do a procedure called chalitza. And that will sever the bond between he and his sister-in-law. And what we're doing now is just a quick refresher on the mitzvah of chalitza. And again, the reason why we're doing that right now is because we're talking about seder, we're talking about order. So let's review. By who v'yavimto lifnei beisdin hayu nesunim lo eitza ho genes lo shenemar v'karu lo ziknei iro v'dibru elav. Fine. So they first go to beisdin and beisdin advises. What is under advisement? So the Gemara over there in Yavamos gives examples of what's under advisement. Could be that he's an old man. Could be that she's a young woman. In other words, he was a very young brother. They got married. And so Basin's going to look at this and say, and it's just not a good shidduch. Meaning, yes, there's a mitzvah of yibum, but also let's just look at the reality. The reality is the two of you are going to get married, and you're going to be together, husband and wife, and you have to function together as husband and wife. And the age difference is just too great. We recommend chalitza. Okay, Basin will do that sometimes. That's what's being described here as Eitzah HaOgeneslo. Good advice. So, V'dibru Allah, V'hi Omeris. Now, here we go now through the actual procedure of the chalitza. Me'en Yavami. So she has a speaking part. Then he has a speaking part. They must say it in the Hebrew, right? The Mishnayos and Sota, if you remember, give us a listing of which can be said in Hebrew, which can be said in any language. Okay, so chalitza, the speaking parts in the chalitza have to be said b'lashon hakodesh. V'nikshah yivimto elav le'enei azikenim, and then they're brought in front of the zikenim. V'chaltza na'alo. She removes his shoe, right? Just yesterday's daf, we talked about this mitzvah, right? That was how Yoav got Avner into a compromised position, if you remember yesterday's daf. V'chaltza na'alo, v'yiraka b'fanav. Now she has to spit in his direction. Rok hanira l'dayanim, and there has to be actual spittle coming out of her mouth. V'ansa v'amra, kach yaseh la'ish, and then she has a speaking part. V'nikra shema b'Yisrael, and then Beis Din has a speaking part. Okay, everyone got it? That's the entire procedure of chalitza. V'amar, Rav Yehuda, mitzvahs chalitza kora, v'kore, choletzes, v'rokekes, v'kora. Okay, so now, if we can compartmentalize and organize all this information we just learned, so basically, it goes like this. She has a speaking part, then he has a speaking part. She does chalitza, she spits, she has a speaking part. Okay, so those are the sequential events of chalitza. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda, what are you teaching us? What did you just do? You organized the information of the Mishnah, which, by the way, I think is a great thing. Meaning, even for that alone, I'd be like, that's good. But the Gemara says, but we could have all done that. Meaning, what are you doing itemizing every one of the things in the Mishnah? So, HaKamashmala mitzvah sachi, v'i'apich leis lan ba. So what he's coming to teach us is that this is the way that it should be done. And if the order gets flipped a little bit, leislan ba, that is not the end of the world. Meaning the chalitza procedure is, you get a check for the chalitza procedure. You don't get a check for doing it in the right order, meaning there is a prescribed order in which to do it. If you mix the order up, so you don't get a check for that. But in terms of the efficacy of the chalitza, it does work even if the order gets flipped around. Tanya Mehachi, the Gemara quotes a Bryce as well. Bein shektim chalitza l'rikika, or rikika l'chalitza ma she'asa asui. If chalitza and rikika get flipped, meaning we know, we just learned the Mishnah together, and we just saw the statement of Rav Yehuda together, standard procedure should be that the removal of the shoe should come before the spitting. However, if that gets flipped, leisan ba. Ma she'asui, it's what's done is done. The chalitza does not need to be redone. Okay, so chalitza, the order is not consequential. certainly should be followed, but not consequential. It's not a poso. We continue. There is the listing of the clothing worn by a Kohen Hedjo and a Kohen Gadol. First of all, we're going to list the four garments of the Kohen Hedjo. Ketonim, Mechnasayim, Mitznefes, Vavni. Ketonis is the tunic. Chnasayim are the pants. Mitznefes, the hat that he wears on his head. And the Avni is the belt. The four begadim worn by Kohen Hedjo, Mosef Aleim, Kohen Gadol, Choshen, Ve'efon, Me'ol, Vetzitz. And the Kohen Gadol is going to have four other begadim. The breastplate and some sort of like apron-looking thing, Me'il, is another layer of a tunic. And Tzitz is a gold headband worn around his head. Now there the Mishnah is giving us the clothing. In order? So here, no, not in order. Meaning it's not even in this case where it's, you know, the preferred order. Here, the Mishnah is just simply not in order. How do I know that? Because pants have to go on first. Shenamar u'michnas ebad yiyu al bisaro. First, the pants have to go on. The Torah says, al bisaro. Meaning the first thing that hits his flesh is going to be the pants. V'tana maitama aktam elektonis mishom da aktam ekra. So the Gemara then asks the question, well, if the pants go on first, so why did the Mishnah put ketonis as listing it as the number one? In other words, you'd think that the Mishnah should be listing it in the order of how we should get dressed. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why. Because in the Torah, ketonis was mentioned first. That, of course, only begs the next question. Ukra maitama aktame mishum de mechasya kule gufe adifalei. Since the ketonis is going to be covering his whole body, so therefore the Torah mentions it first. In other words, there's more tznius accomplished through the ketonis than through the pants. But in terms of which is actually going to be put on first, so the pants are going to be put on first. Okay. Fine. So that was, quite frankly, the end of yesterday's daf, the beginning of the seventh parak of Sanhedrin. And so what we've just learned together is that in our Mishnah, order is sequential. Good. Now that we've established that order sequential in our Mishnah, so we have the Dal Mises based in. And so now in ranking, we have the Tanakama having Skila's number one slot, straight for the number two, and then Hereg Chenek. In the 3 and 4 slot. Rabbi Shimon takes 1 and 2 and flips him, takes 3 and 4 and flips him. And now, for the balance of today's daf, what we are going to be doing is basically analyzing and understanding the ranking. Meaning, how come this is the ranking system? How do we know that Skila is number 1? How do we know that Sreifa is number 2? Etc., etc. How can Rabbi Shimon take Sreifa and put it in front of Skila? This will be the balance of today's daf. We begin 3 lines from the bottom on Mem Tesamud Beis, Skila Sreifa. So basically, we're going to take today's daf and divide into 2 parts. Side A of today's daf is going to be an analysis of the Tanakama's position of Skila Sreifa Herig Vechenig. And side B of today's daf is going to be an analysis of Rav Shimon's position where 1 and 2 get flipped and 3 and 4 get flipped. Okay, that's it. In other words, now structurally, we now know what today's daf is going to look like. And now it's just a simple question of going through it. Okay, in the course of going through it, with just one other introductory remark, and then we're going to start the Gemara. In the course of going through it, basically what we're going to try to do is we're going to do comparison shopping. Now, admittedly, it's going to be hard, meaning that what the Gemara is going to try to do is look at, well, who gets this capital punishment? Oh, this person gets that capital punishment, and what Zavera did is so egregious, as opposed to this Zavera, which is less egregious. And admittedly, okay, just, you know, obviously, the challenge of today's daf is basically going to be, how do we have the right to say that this Avera is more chamer than this Avera? Although, the Gemara is going to make arguments, meaning that the Gemara feels that this is going to be a compelling argument that's going to put this Avera above this Avera, meaning, so therefore, that this execution is a harsher form than this execution itself. Okay. Admittedly, it's going to be tough in terms of comparison shopping, but that's what we're doing for the most part in today's daf. Okay, so let's begin. So, side A of today's daf, Shitas Chachamim, that Skila Sreifa Herig Vechenig, which is the accepted halacha, that's the accepted viewpoint. So how are we putting Skila in the number one slot? So, Skila Chamor Misrefa Shkein Nitin L'Megadav Oved Avodas Galilim. So, first and foremost, Skila goes in the number one slot because who gets Skila? The one who commits idolatry. I was about to say adultery. That was obviously going to be a mistake. The one who commits idolatry or Megadif. Megadif is blasphemy. So, in both of these examples, which are basically, in other words, again, in our comparison shopping, we could basically put them on the same, on par with one another. They're both an attack and a front to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Gemara is about to say that in just a second, very clearly. So they are, and we know the Torah says very clearly that for violations of Avodah Zarah and for Avodas Kochavim, so the, for Avodah Zarah and Megadif, the punishment is going to be Skila. By Gidif, the Torah says very clearly, Hotzeis Makalo, right? We've discussed Makalo already a couple of times, and the Torah there describes Skila. Okay, so Skila is given to the Avodah Zarah and for the Megadif, and so therefore it's put in the number one slot. The Gemara says, "My chomer shekem poshi yada be'ikar." In both of them, it's a denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a direct attack and affront to Hashem and in its existence, in his existence. And therefore, because the ones who are involved in these activities are getting skila, so therefore skila is the number one slot. Adrabah Sreifa Chamor Shekein Nidin Labas Koin Shizinsa. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's take a look at Sreifa. Who gets Sreifa? So we know in the Torah tells us that the Bas Koin is subject to Sreifa. What do we mean by that? We're going to be saying this a number of times, so let's familiarize ourselves. Okay. And that is that a woman committing adultery. Now, let's I'm just giving the background information so that we understand where these arguments the Gemara is about to provide. A woman committing adultery. If she is, and remember now there are two stages of marriage. First stage of marriage is Kedushin, second stage of marriage is Nisuin. However, we could say it as many times as we need to say it. After the first stage of marriage, she is a married woman. It's not an engagement. It's not that they're planning to get married. The first stage of marriage creates marriage, which means that if she commits adultery after the first stage of marriage, that is adultery. Subject to the capital crime. And to a death sentence. So, for a regular woman, meaning a non-Kohen woman, to commit adultery, so under most circumstances, she's subject to the chenek penalty. Again, the sources for this, the Gemara is going to be discussing later on. For our purposes right now, all we just need to know is just know the facts. The source we're going to learn later in the Masechta. So, that is true for a regular woman committing adultery. Now, there is an occasion where, if she were a na'ara hama'urasa, under certain circumstances where she went through the first stage of marriage and she was, age-wise, she was a na'ara, so then she is, in fact, going to be subject to the skila penalty. The Gemara is going to note that later on. But generally speaking, however, the penalty for adultery is chenek. Now, for a bas kohen, the Torah says that when a bas kohen commits adultery, so because she's a bas kohen, she has more kedusha. She's in a higher level. So it is more egregious and active if she commits adultery, and therefore her penalty is going to be higher, and that is she's going to get sreifa. And as the Gemara now is pointing out, part of the reason why her act is more egregious, aside from she herself being a bas kohen, is it's also a defamation of the family. The family themselves are going to be undergoing some sort of censor by virtue of the fact that she committed adultery. And so the Gemara says that based on this, maybe Sreifa should now be put in the number one slot. This is what the Gemara now is arguing. We're in the very bottom of Memtes Amid Beis, Adrabah. Right, there's a certain additional censor of the parents involved in a Bas Kohen. Esavia, the Torah says, Esavia hi mechalalas. She's defaming her father. She's, I'll say better, or more accurately, she's profaning her father. Okay. The Gemara, just a couple days from now, is going to say on Daf Nun Beis, Rashi quotes it over here, that before her act of adultery, they would treat the father with Kedusha. After her act of adultery, they would treat her father with Chulin. And the Gemara later on explain more in more detail what exactly that means. It will affect her father. So the Gemara now says, "Shekein nitnan labas kohen shezinsa my chomer shekein mechalas avia." She's mechala her father. Continues the Gemara now on the top of Daf Nun. So right now the Gemara is making a suggestion that Sreifa should go in the number one slot, even though Skila subject is given to the Ovid of Avodah Zarah and to the Megadif, and therefore should be in the number one slot. Yeposhev yado be'ikar. It's a direct attack on Hashem. The Gemara says, yeah, but Sreifa's to the Bas Kohen. And not only is it a, not only is it an egregious act vis-a-vis her, but she also is a, it's an attack on her father. She's profaning her father, the Torah says, and therefore she goes in the number one slot. Kasavi Rabbana Nesua Yotze L'Sreifa V'lo Arusa. So the Gemara says, in defense of the Chachamim, here's what we're going to say. That not every Bas Kohen is going to be burnt. Nesua Yotze L'Sreifa V'lo Arusa. So it's only the Bas Kohen who went through both stages of the marriage, both Nesuin and, both Erusin and Nesuin. So, so therefore, according to the Chachamim, consider that if she's a Bas Kohen, but she only went through the first stage of marriage and not the second stage of marriage, and she committed adultery, she gets skila. And you see evident from that fact, you see that skila is more chamor. Okay, now, I'm going to try to articulate this point. It admittedly is a difficult point to articulate. You'll see Rashi over here. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now. Rashi over here spends a lot of time with this point. But let me just try to explain an assumption the Gemara makes time and again, and that is the following. When a woman commits adultery, obviously it's a capital crime. That part's clear. What's more egregious? If she commits adultery after the first stage of marriage or after the second stage of marriage? If I were left to my own devices, I would have told you incorrectly, that in the second stage of marriage is more egregious act. In other words, second stage of marriage, now she's a, if I'm allowed to say this, a fully married woman. In other words, again, I have to be perfectly clear. After Erusin, she's married. Married. Not, it's not an engagement. She's married. But there are two stages of marriage, and the second stage of marriage, Nesuin, which comes with chuppah. So she's a fully married woman, meaning her, she and her husband live together, husband and wife. So if I were left to my own devices, I would say that her act of adultery after the second stage of marriage is more egregious. The Gemara assumes no. The Gemara assumes throughout this entire discussion that if she commits adultery after Erusin, that's more egregious. Now,
she's in her father's house.
Right. How exactly to articulate that point and how to explain that point, I do struggle with that a little bit. Meaning I don't have a good way to explain it, which means, quite frankly, I don't fully understand it. But, okay, that's a deficiency in my understanding. It's my shortcoming, if you will. Okay, I apologize. But, clearly, in other words, the Gemara is, but I do know this, though. The Gemara clearly is understanding and assuming that an act of adultery after Erusin is more heinous, it's more egregious than after Nesuin.
Where's the source?
Where's the source for that? It's the assumption the Gemara is making. I'm just telling you, I know.
Based on what?
Based on all the Gemaras that we're about to read together. Meaning? No, I'm just, it just is. Meaning, I don't have a source for you. I just know that that's what the Gemara is assuming. So, the Gemara is just simply now making the following observation. Look at the Bas Kohen. If she underwent both Erusin and Nesuin, she gets Sreifa. But, and adultery, under those circumstances, gives her Sreifa. But says the Gemara, but if she only underwent Erusin and she committed adultery, she gets skila. What does that show you? Says the Gemara, it shows you skila is a harsher penalty because the act she did was more egregious. I understand your question. Your question's valid. I'm just meaning what I'm presenting are the facts. Meaning the sources, the Gemara. Right. Well, we know the Nara Marasa gets skila. What the Gemara is presenting as a chiddush is that the Nara Marasa of the Bas Kohen gets skila as well. Meaning, and that's going to later the Gemara is going to seek psukim in order to get that point. Right now, let's just simply say it as a tenet. Meaning, that's a rule. So now that that's a rule, so now we get to do is we are just simply looking at the rule right now, and therefore ranking the skila, ranking the death penalties based on that. And the Gemara is saying, okay. And assuming that these are the facts, so now you see that skila is on a higher plane than that of sreifa.
Because length is 20 versus 10.
Okay. But it doesn't. Now, admittedly, that doesn't address Hedy's point. Because Hedy wants to know, how do we know there's a differentiation between Arusa and Nesua? The Torah itself does not make this differentiation. Okay, fine. By Bas Kohen, it just simply says, Bas Kohen, Shehi Mecha, Shehi Mecha. The Torah doesn't even say she's married. Torah just simply says she gets reifa. Okay, again, the Gemara later on will seek the sources themselves. Our purpose for today is not to seek the sources. Our purpose today is just simply to look at the resulting penalty and therefore gauge which one is a harsher penalty. That's what our Gemara is trying to accomplish today. Okay, so Shema Min Haskila Chamura. Okay, fine. So now, what have we established so far? So far now, we have Skila in the number one slot. If you will, by the way, like if you want to visualize this, basically I got four plaques, if you will. Skila, Shreifa, Erik, Vechenig. And now, what we've successfully accomplished is we put Skila in the number one slot. Okay, we got three more cards to go in terms of which slot to put them in, but Skila is number one. Again, the Ovid of Odazar and the Megadiv get Skila. And what about the Shreifa, which admittedly is a harsh penalty? It's given to the Bas Kohen. Yeah, but the Bas Kohen Arusa is getting Skila. It's a more egregious act. Okay, so Skila is number one. So we have Skila now in the number one slot. But not yet, though. In other words, the only thing we've established now is that Skila is above Shreifa. In order for us to put in the number one slot, we're going to have to do this two more times. We're going to have to now prove that Skila is above Herig and Skila is above Chenek, and the Gemara is going to do that right now. Skila Chamura Misayif. So it goes above Saif. By the way, Saif and Herig are synonymous. Okay, sorry, I'm using the term in the Mishnah. Okay, but Herig and Saif are synonymous terms. So Skila Chamur Misayif Shekein Nitna LeMegadol VeOvedavodas Kochavim Umay Chomer Kedamarin. So again, Skila number one given to the Ovid Avodah Zarah, right, a direct affront to Hashem. Adarav Saif Chamur Shekein Nitna Lan Shein Irani Dachus Umay Chomer Shekein Mamon Amavon. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know who gets Saif? Anche Irani Dachas, members of the city of the Irani Dachas, a majority of the cities being Ovid Avodah Zarah, so they're going to be subject to the Saif penalty. Now again, why? For our purposes right now, not important, meaning yes, important, but right now we're just looking at the what. The what is, they do get Saif. And they're being Ovid Avodah Zarah. And furthermore, says the Gemara, not only that, but all the money is going to be collected into the center of the city and destroyed, burnt in fire. So the Gemara says, "Amar deze koch meruba koch hamidiach or koch hanidach have omer koch hamidiach." So the Gemara says, "Look, it is a compelling argument, but let's analyze one further point. In the ir hanidachas, well, let's look at the cult leader, meaning the one in the city who got everybody to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. What happens to him? What happens to the cult leader? So v'tanya medicha ir hanidachas beskila." The cult leader gets Skila. Okay? So, Skila, Chamura, I'm sorry, a period, meaning end of the argument. So yes, it's true. Everyone in the Irani Dachas is going to get Saif. And yes, it's true. Irani Dachas is terrible. And not only that, but the money is going to get destroyed. But the cult leader, obviously, who is more egregious than the city themselves, because the city themselves were simply allowed themselves to be enticed. The cult leader was the one who instigated. And he gets Skila. Oh, okay, fine. So you see that Skila goes on top of that. Next. Skila Chamur Michenek. Okay, so now we have one more to do in order so that we can successfully put Skila in the number one slot. And that is put Skila above Chenek. Shekein Nitna LeMegadiv. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, LeMegadiv V'Lovid Avodas Kochavim U'may Chomer Kedam Aran. So again, the starting point for Skila is going to always be the same. It's given to the one who is Ovid Avodah Zarah. Gemara says, yeah, but you know who gets chenek? Somebody who hits his mother and father. Hitting your parent is a capital crime. And you're subject to the penalty, the death penalty of chenek. And the Gemara says, and we know that when you hit your parent, it is not only an affront to your parent, it's also an affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that there are three partners in the creation of man, your mother, your father, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And anything you do to your parent will be tantamount as if you did it to Hashem himself. And the Gemara in Kiddushin says that when a person is disrespectful to his parents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll excuse myself now, because it's a direct front to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, make aviv imo subject to the chenek penalty, and it's tantamount to a direct front to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, what gives us the right now to put skila above chenek, when you see that the makah aviv imo gets chenek? So medafke rechman la rusa bas yisrael mechlal nesua bas yisrael mechenek leskila shema mina skila chamura. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I know that skila is more chamur because, again, we're going to come back to this point that we made earlier. Let's consider now a woman committing adultery. If she was a Nesua, she only receives chenek. If she was an arusa, which again, I keep coming back to this point, the Gemara keeps coming back to the point. It is more egregious for the arusa to have committed adultery, and so therefore, skila is, and she receives skila, so again, it's an indication that skila is more chamer. Okay, so now, what the Gemara has successfully done is put skila above srefa, above saif, above chenek, so now we know skila goes in the number one slot. Good, locked in there. Okay, and now we're going to have to do this two more times, meaning we're going to have to now find where srefa goes, even though we know where it goes, but we're going to argue that it should go in the number two slot. Same thing with saif, and then obviously by chenek, then it's left on its own. You don't have to argue that's in the last spot. You know, by default, it's going to be in the last spot. So here we go now, srefa. Srefa chamur misayif shekein nitna labas kohen shezinsa. Umay chamur shekein mechalas esavia. So srefa now is above saif, because the bas kohen gets it, she gets srefa. And consider that not only was it a profaning on herself, but it's a profaning on her father as well. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know who gets saif? The Irani Dachas gets saif. So Namra via Beskilav and Namra via Besrefa. So here the Gemara uses an interesting maneuver in order to counter argue. And that is a Gzera Shava. Now it is interesting because up until this point in time in the Gemara was weighing one Avera against another Avera. Now what the Gemara is going to do, it's an interesting maneuver, is it says it's going to use Gzera Shava in order to align in position one punishment against another punishment. It says the word Avia by Skila. It says the words Avia by Srefa. Ma Avia Amor Beskila Skila Chamor Misayef. Ava Avia Amor Besrefa Srefa Chamor Misayef. We established already that Skila goes above Saif. That was done in the previous section of the Gemara. And we have Xerishava linking Srefa to Skila. So if Skila is above Saif, Srefa is going to be above Saif as well. Okay. Srefa Chamor Michenek Shekenin Labas Kohen Shezinsa. So Srefa now goes above Chenek because the Bas Kohen gets Srefa. Chenek, on the other hand, who gets chenek? Somebody who hits his mother and father. So the Gemara says, again, the Gemara says, yeah, but look, a Bas Kohen leaves the general principle of a Bas Yisrael. A Bas Yisrael committing adultery, she gets chenek. Bas Kohen, which is more egregious, it's more an affront. She's a Kohen, she's a daughter of a Kohen. And yet, not yet, wrong wording. And because she is a Bas Kohen, and because it's more egregious, so the Torah upgrades, I don't think she'll call it an upgrade, the Torah upgrades her death penalty to Srefa, so you see clearly that Srefa goes above Chenek. Okay, Saif, Chamor, okay, fine. So now, we just put Srefa above Saif. We put it above Chenek now, so we have Srefa in the number two slot. So Skila is locked into the number one, Srefa is locked into the number two. One more to go. And that is Saif, Chamor, Mechenek. So now we're pitting Saif against Chenek. So decapitation and strangulation. So Saif goes above it. Why? Sheken itna lan she'er nidachas, so my Chamor sheken mamonam avad. So who gets Saif Irani Dachas, as we already discussed? The Gemara says, yeah, but one who hits his mother and father is subject to the Chenek penalty. And that is the direct affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, yeah, but still, Irani Dachas is a more compelling argument, because there it's a direct affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're over to Avodah Zarah, there is nothing more direct in terms of an attack against God than being Ovid Avodah Zarah, and Irani Dachas is Ovid Avodah Zarah. Just on a citywide basis, but it's Ovid Avodah Zarah. Okay. And therefore, it is more chamer than hitting one's parent. Okay, so, breathe just for a second. What do we have right now? We have now the chomer dal misos as presented by the Chachamim, which is the accepted viewpoint, which is that it's Skila Srefa Harik Vechenek, and what the Gemara has just done in the last Amud of Gemara is comparison shop and take us through how the Chachamim get to the order where Skila is the most Chamor, followed then by Srefa, followed by Harik, followed then by Chenek.
How does Rabbi Shimon argue
with these arguments? I'm so happy you asked. Danny, welcome to side two of today's daf. Rabbi Shimon Omer. We're going to start this today. We're not going to finish Rabbi Shimon today, but we'll at least start it. Sreifa chamor miskila shekein nitna labas koin shezin. So my chomra shekein mechaleles es avia. So Rabbi Shimon tells us that sreifa is number one because of the bas koin. The bas koin is an egregious act because not only is it an adultery, but it's adultery coupled with the fact that she profanes her father. So adrab miskila chamor shekein nitna lemegado v'alavodes kochav my chomra shekein poshigado be'ikar. Now, how then are we able to take Sreifa, according to Rabbi Shimon, because now this is analysis of Rabbi Shimon, how can Sreifa go above Ovid Avodah Zarah, which is a direct affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Rabbi Shimon, Latamidam, Achas Arusav, Achas Susu, Yasal Sreifa. So the Gemara says, here's how Rabbi Shimon's going to make his argument. Now, in order to make the argument, Rabbi Shimon does disagree on a fact, which is, who's subject to the Sreifa penalty? So Rabbi Shimon says, every Bas Kohen who commits adultery, whether she has undergone erusin or and or even nisuin, she is going to be subject to the sreifa penalty. And so now, Rabbi Shimon, let's consider. If you're a regular Nara Hamuras committing adultery, what penalty do you get? Skila. If you're a Bas Kohen Nara Hamuras who commits adultery, what are you going to get? Sreifa. Oh, okay. But in other words, but everyone, please keep in mind, meaning this argument only works, but because the facts change, meaning because Rabbi Shimon disagrees on the premise that a Bas Kohen Arusa is going to get Sreifa, as opposed to a standard punishment for a Nara Marusa Skila, the Bas Kohen is more egregious. She is the daughter of a Kohen. She is profaning herself and her father, and her penalty is going to be bumped up. So you see now, But the argument only works because his premise is different than that of the Chachamim. But it is different, and because it's different, so you see that Sreifa is harsher. Okay, so now what do we have? We have Sreifa above Skila. Again, though, we're going to have to just keep doing this because that only puts Sreifa above Skila. Now we're going to have to create arguments that Sreifa goes above Saif, and Sreifa is going to be above Chenek. A lot of these arguments are going to be repetitive in nature, because, quite frankly, it's the same arguments are going to work. Sreifa chamor mechenek shekein nitna labas koin shezin so my chomer kedam aron. Adrav chenek chamor shekein nitna lamaka aviv imo. Or my chomer shekein hukash kvodom kvodam makom. So the Gemara says, Sreifa goes above chenek because bas koin. What about the fact that chenek is given to the person who hits his parent? So midafke rachmel nesua bas koin mechla nesua bas yisrael. Mechenek lesreifa, shema mina sreifa chamor. The Gemara says, yeah, but still, a really compelling argument can be made that Sreifa should be bumped up, it goes above Chenek, because consider, a regular married woman committing adultery, Chenek. Bas Kohen committing adultery, Sreifa. Oh, okay. So you see that Sreifa is above Chenek. Sreifa chamor misayv shekein nitna la bas koin shezin so my chomer kedam aron. Adrabba saif chamor shekein nitna la shirini dachu so my chomer shekein mamonim avad. So the Gemara says, now let's compare Sreifa to Saif. Who gets Saif the Irani Dachas? Well, my Chumash came Amon Amavad. Amar Vechi Eze Koch Meruba. Koch HaMediach or Koch HaNidach. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's get it straight. What's worse? The people in the Irani Dachas being Ovid of Rezara, or the cult leader who got everyone to be of Ovid of Rezara? Havi Omer Koch HaMediach. So the Gemara says, well, that's easy. We know the cult leader is more egregious. So the Gemara says, now, he, the cult leader, is going to be receiving skila, which obviously is worse than the saif that's going to be given for everyone in the city themselves. So, here now the Gemara says we can construct a kavachomer. So, chenek, which is greater than saif, srefa is greater than it. Saif, which is lesser, evidenced by the fact that the members of the Irani Dachas, are going to be receiving something lesser than the cult leader. So lo kol shekein. So for sure, we're able to put Sreifa above Saif. Okay, fine. So that, according to Rabbi Shimon, now allows us to put Sreifa above Skila, Sreifa above Saif, and Sreifa above Chenek. Okay. So we have now, according to Rabbi Shimon, Sreifa in the number one spot. Okay, we're gonna pause at this moment in time. We have a little bit more to go just to wrap up Rabbi Shimon. We will do that in the beginning of tomorrow's daf. So far, what do we have? A Mishnah that gives us Dal Mesas Beis Din. The order is significant. The Gemara points out there are not that many Mishnahs where order is significant. According to Rav Huna, only one that really made his list, the Mishnah in Nida, regarding the seven chemical agents applied to blood in order to see whether it's blood or not. A machlokis in our Mishnah in terms of what is the correct order in terms of the Dal Mesas Beis Din. Machlokis Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakam says, Skila Srefa Herek Vechenek. Rabbi Shimon says, Srefa Skila Chenek Hereg. What we have accomplished this morning is that we've gone over the arguments for the Chachamim in terms of how they got to their ranking. We started Rabbi Shimon this morning in terms of how he got to his ranking. Tomorrow we'll complete Rabbi Shimon and we'll continue in the seventh parak of Sanhedrin.